So wonderful to be here tonight and to see everyone. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, please. Just would like to open up with one verse in chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, verse 12. It reads, "The hand also in Judah, the hand of God, was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king." Man, I'm going to get all teary-eyed up here already. Just want to say it was a wonderful time at the camp this weekend. And I really feel like when the Christians gather and work together, working together in the Lord, felt the hand of God was to give us one heart together, and it was wonderful. I just want to say thanks to Jody Chandler. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous, but and Madison for doing the dishes. And I probably wouldn't have such a great time if it wasn't for them, and all, you know, and the maintenance guys, and obviously Grant and Ben for bearing with me in the kitchen there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to bow down and thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is life. We have life in him. Father, I pray that through your word, your people will be blessed. And that by your Holy Spirit, you would accomplish what you would have accomplished tonight. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read the first 12 verses of chapter 30. "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month, because they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, You children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be you not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again to the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn his face from you if you return unto him." So the posts passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, some from Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. Since January, I think I've spoke here about once a month since January, and every time I've spoken, it's been on King Hezekiah. We started in 2 Chronicles 29. We noted that he was the greatest king of Judah. And he had he lived by the principle of Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we noted that the very first day of his reign, he thought not of his own interests, but he went to clean the house of the Lord. He put God's interests first. We also remember of King Hezekiah that he loved the word of God. I came across a verse in Proverbs 25 that reads, these are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. So I take that from, if it wasn't for King Hezekiah's love for the word, we probably wouldn't have some of these Proverbs in the Bible, because King Hezekiah, he had more Proverbs of Solomon copied out. Which leads me to believe that he feared the Lord. And that's a bit of a review. And one other thing I want to notice is Hezekiah, he first cleaned out the temple of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 29. And also want to, we'll look at that in verse 16 of 29. It reads that the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and they brought out all uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it and carried it abroad into the brook Kidron. So anything that was unclean in the house of the Lord, things used for idolatry, things that weren't of Jehovah God, he took out of the house of the Lord. The priests, they cleansed it. I also want to notice, as a result of that, in chapter 30:14, we read about the people, and it says, the people, they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and the altars for incense, they took away and cast them into Brook Kidron. So I want to notice here that Hezekiah, he cleaned out the temple, but the people, because of what Hezekiah did, they cleansed out cleansed out Jerusalem. And so it was expanding the cleansing effect. And also in 31:31, further on, sorry, chapter 31, verse 1. After the Passover celebration, now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim also and Manasseh, and they utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his own possession, into their own cities. And so the cleansing effect was from the temple out to Jerusalem was cleansed of all the idolatry. From what I've learned, the nation of Israel and Judah, before Hezekiah, there was about 250 years of idol worship. And so there was a lot of things that weren't of the Lord there. And I just want to notice, maybe it's about we first clean our hearts out because we're the temple of the Lord, just applying it to today. And then in Jerusalem, maybe we clean out our home. And then into all the other cities of Israel, then maybe our communities we try and clean out, just things that aren't of the Lord. I thought that was an interesting cleansing effect and how it expands. In chapter 30, we want to dive into here. I spoke about last time why they held the Passover in the second part of the month, in the second month of the year instead of the first. Today I want to look at just briefly why he celebrated the Passover. What was the Passover all about? And we know that the Passover was a remembrance feast, remembering what God had done in the history of Israel. How, I'm not a Bible scholar, but it was approximately 1500 BC, true history. All the Israelites, over a million of, were enslaved in Egypt, and they were in bondage by the Egyptians. And God, by mighty acts, delivered the Israelites from slavery and brought them through the wilderness and eventually into the land of Israel, the land of promise. And the Passover feast was the mighty act where God sent a destroyer to kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But God made a provision for the Israelites, and was the Lamb of God, they were to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doors of their house. And we'll read it. This is a brief overview. And so the houses with the blood on the outside, God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And so the destroyer went and killed all the firstborn of the land, but the houses with the blood on the outside, they were safe. And that story is found in Exodus 12. And you don't have to turn with me there, but I just want to probably make a lot more sense if I just read a few verses. In verse 3, God said to Israel, when they were in slavery, God said to Israel through Moses and Aaron to take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. It was to be a lamb without blemish. In verse 7, take the blood and strike it on the side posts and on the upper post of the house wherein you shall eat it. Verse 8, you shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Verse 12, for I will pass, God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when I see the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Verse 26, and it will come to pass when your children shall say to you, what mean you by this service? And you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. Verse 29, and it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and to the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all the servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. And they were enslaved for about 400 years in verse 40. Verse 10 in chapter 3 says, you shall keep this as an ordinance forever, this feast. They weren't to put the blood every year. They weren't supposed to put the blood on their doors. And every year there wasn't a destroyer going to come through the land, but they were to keep this as a memorial as to what God had did that night, on how the firstborn of the Israelites, they were safe. They didn't die. And they were protected by the blood. It's significant that Hezekiah wanted to remember this feast. I'd like to look at a few of the elements of this feast and relate it to the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God. The Passover is a brilliant picture of the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for us. They were to eat it with bitter herbs. This speaks of slavery, being a slave to sin. And we are all born slave to sin. Genesis 8:21 says, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Is the imagination of your heart evil from your youth? God says yes. Psalm 14:2 and 3, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek God. They were all gone aside. Together they have become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one." Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sins shall die." That's some bitter news to take, that we're born sinners. Sin is falling short of God's perfect standard. Sin is anything that doesn't measure up with the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2:1, "And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Psalm 49:7 and 8 reads, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him." The wages of sin is death. When we sin, we're separated from God. And I have to pay for my own sin. And everybody has to pay for their own sin. The only reason why we can be accepted with God is if a sinless person steps in our place. And that's the next item, is the unleavened bread, is the Lord Jesus. And leaven in the Bible is a symbol of evil and sin. And they were to eat this feast with bitter herbs, but also with unleavened bread, symbolizing the Lord Jesus, that he was without sin. The Lord Jesus did say that he was the bread of life. Isaiah 53, verse 9. 700 years before the Lord Jesus came, Isaiah the prophet says about the Lord Jesus, "He done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." The Lord Jesus says to his enemies in John 8:46, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" The Lord Jesus, he never sinned. Isaiah 53, 6, "And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." How did he do that? That's the other emblem. That's the Passover lamb. What's significant about the lamb? The lamb has blood. The life of the flesh, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's the symbol of life, is the blood. And we know that Exodus 12:13, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Life had to be given. The Lord Jesus, he stepped in our place and was a substitute. Isaiah 53, verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The lamb had to be spotless. As we said, Jesus was spotless. There was no broken bones to be in the lamb of the feast. And the Lord Jesus, there was no broken bones in the Lord Jesus. That was a prophecy. And it was, I guess it was common for them to break the bones for someone to be crucified. But before they did that, the Lord Jesus has already died, and so they didn't. They poked him with a spear, and blood and water came out. If they had broken his bones, the scripture would be of none effect. But the Lord Jesus, there was no broken bones. Other things, the Passover was at Jerusalem. It was supposed to be at Jerusalem, the feast, and the Lord Jesus died at Jerusalem. And we'll skip to the New Testament. Christ, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. God commends his love toward us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. And the Lord Jesus, he appointed a remembrance feast. I believe the Passover, it was a memorial feast. And they look back to the redemption of slavery out of Egypt. And we look back to the cross of Calvary. And we have the Lord's Supper every week. And that's by an ordinance of the Lord. And we do that every week to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And that's to remember God passing over his judgment upon us. Christ's blood applied to our hearts. When he sees Christ's blood applied to our hearts, he'll pass over his judgment on us. Do you have the blood of Christ applied to your heart? We'll pick it up in verse 6. Excuse me a sec. Verse 6 of Chronicles 30. I want to look at. We read that the post went with the letters from the king and to his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king. So the posts. And I think about posts, I think about a postman. I don't know if that word is any relation, but these were messengers. They were to deliver the letter from the king. They were God's messengers. Looking up the word, the word is a runner. And they were runners. They ran. They made haste, I think. And quite often, even when doing evangelism, for example, like on the C3 team, we often went just from door to door, just like delivering packages, like just delivering the message, God's message, like, and felt very much like postman. And speaking of C3, many of you know Martin Crozier, and I believe that he was teaching the East team this week, and the guys on the team were really blessed by them, and right now they're continuing on in their evangelism. So we can pray for that. These posts, it's getting hot in here. They were obeying the king. I want to look at Romans 1. Please turn with me to Romans 1. There's three principles in Romans 1 that the posts, they believed in and they exemplified. And first of all, Romans 1:14, Apostle Paul said he was a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. He was a debtor. He was under obligation. King Hezekiah, he was under obligation to speak the gospel to all Israel. And we said he went to all the tribes of Israel, even Ephraim and Manasseh. They were even before at war with Hezekiah. So it's a great picture of going to our enemies and sharing the gospel with them. He was under obligation. Apostle Paul was under obligation. And I believe as Christians, we do have an obligation to share the good news. to speak of his wonderful, the praises of him, speak the praises of God to people. Hezekiah, because he was under obligation, he sent the posts. We know that the posts, like I said, were runners. And a few examples of the word used in the New Testament. There was a man who ran and took a sponge in Matthew 27 and gave it to the Lord Jesus full of vinegar. When they were coming to and from the tomb after the Lord Jesus, when they were looking to see if the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, which he did, it says in Luke 24, Peter rose and ran unto the tomb. John 20, they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. And 1 Corinthians 9:24, know you not that they which run in a race run all? Galatians 2:2, you did run well. Hebrews 12, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so this is great haste, like I said, and in Romans also, he was not only a debtor. Verse 15, Apostle Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. He was ready, and ready, you can say he was willing to preach the gospel. He was eager. He had an eagerness to share the good news. And the runners, they went. And I believe everybody in Israel, they knew the commandment of the king to come and celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. I don't think there was, unless you lived in a cave, you wouldn't get by the king's decree to come into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And also, verse 16 there, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So he was not ashamed. In these posts, as we read on, as we read, they laughed at them and mocked them. I read somewhere else that it's recorded in history that even some were killed, some of these posts. So these are things we can learn. And it's in scripture here. And also they went out by the command of the king to share the message of the king. And also we are commanded by the king. What other authority do we need to share the good news? Do we need to wait for somebody to say, okay, now you can go? Do I need to wait for an elder to say, now you can go and share the good news? Now you are qualified to share the good news. No. I've already received higher authority to share the good news with those around me. The King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's commanded me, as a follower of him, to preach the gospel to every creature. You know, five times this blows me away, five times in the New Testament, the Great Commission goes forth by the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 18, please turn with me to Matthew 28. I'd like to look at the Lord Jesus Christ's command, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And I once thought maybe my flesh always wants to try and get out of obeying God. Somehow it tries to weasel my way out of, I try and weasel my way out of things that I should do. And you know, I try to weasel my way out of the Great Commission somehow. And I'm like, maybe it was just for the early 12 disciples. But the Lord Jesus here says he's with you always, even unto the end of the world. This command is to the end of the world, end of the age. Have we reached that end yet? No, it's not the end of the age yet. We're still under the age of grace, where we can turn from our sin and turn to the Lord and receive forgiveness of sins. And the Lord Jesus hasn't come back yet. He could come back soon, anytime. But I believe that still the Great Commission is for us Christians today. Mark 16, 15 to 16. If you want to turn with me to Mark 16, the Lord Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Sorry. I've been in it. Mark. I wanted to read it. Here, Mark 15, 16. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized is saved, and he that believes not shall be damned." Luke 24, 46 to 49. Third time. "And he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." John 21:20-21, Jesus said, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." In Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So, and we notice that in chapter 29 of Chronicles, it was I thought it was about salvation and how they came to the made a right relationship with God through blood sacrifice, through all the sacrifices they made in 2 Chronicles 29. And this chapter 30 is what follows salvation, is a desire for people, for everybody to be saved. And don't you want what you have? Don't you want everyone around you to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know their sins are forgiven, and to know that they have, through the Lord Jesus Christ, they can one day be presented before God, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable, to be absolutely clothed in righteousness before God. And though we are filthy sinners, we can be clothed in robes of righteousness, perfect, undefiled, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't we want to share that? And so chapter 30 is a good kind of what happened following salvation. We want everybody to receive the joy of having our sins forgiven, having hope of resurrection life in the Lord Jesus. I believe that the letters here, I could say maybe this is the first gospel tract in the Bible. It's kind of interesting to think about that, you know, we hand out tracts and think that that's a biblical thing. Even some people would say that God never, you're not supposed to share the gospel like that. People will come up with anything. But here we have an example of these posts, these runners. They had letters and they were giving letters out. Maybe they had just a letter to post it, but we have a convenience of actually giving someone a letter in the form of a gospel tract. And we can look, we read it, and it's very much like a gospel tract that we would hand out that talks about repentance in there. It says, "Turn again unto the Lord, and he will return to the remnant of you." And repentance is a change of mind, change of direction. Like one time, before I came to know the Lord, I was my own God, going this way, doing whatever I wanted to do, And there, to me, there was no God, and just going my own way, fulfilling the desires, the lusts in my flesh. But now, I changed my mind. God changed my mind. Now I'm going this way. And it's like the Lord is Lord in my life, and I want to live for Him and obey Him. And so it's a turn of mind. It's acknowledging your sin, accepting God's judgment, but also thanking for God provided. God was merciful and gracious. He sent the Lord Jesus to pay the judgment for us. And it's just interesting to read through this, what I call it, the gospel tract, the first gospel tract, because there's also a warning. Interesting to note that they were warned that they were under wrath. And as far as my source tells me, that just 5 years after the letter went out to all the tribes, just 5 years after, Assyria came and wiped them out, or sent them away in captivity. And so that was like their last, could be their last chance, the last time the gospel ever went to them, at last time to actually honor the Lord. And you never know when the last time is going to be to turn to the Lord. Tonight might be your only opportunity, as it's the only opportunity for sinners to be saved today. It says today is the day of salvation. Well, it's also, today is the day to tell people about the salvation. And I'm speaking this to my own heart, and I think about this, and I'm reassured by a promise of the Lord Jesus. He said, first of all, to repent, and then the second call of Matthew was to follow me. And I believe that as we follow Jesus, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew, I think it's the second time there's red letters in Matthew. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you become a fisher of men. And so that's a command. We just focus on following the Lord Jesus, and it's a promise. God will make us become fishers of men. It's not something that I really have to work at doing to become a fisher of men. I just have to focus on following Him, and God makes me to become a fisher of men. So I'm reassured by that it's not about my own striving, but the Lord Jesus will have His way. And this is encouraging to me to once again to be more concerned about those around me. And once again, just thank you so much for bearing with me tonight, and I just pray that there was something profitable for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we recognize that there is only life in Him. All the fullness of the Godhead was dwelt in Him bodily, and through Him we have resurrection life, life from the dead. We are blessed beyond measure. What a hope we have, Lord. You give us eternal life through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no other way, because you are the only living God, the one and only. And so we give you thanks, Lord. I pray that your word that was shared tonight may become alive in our hearts, and that we may be a blessing to others. Bring others in our lives, Lord. May people be brought to our lives. May we share the gospel. May we be ready to share the gospel. May we be not ashamed of the gospel, for we ourselves are not disappointed in it. You have given us everything, and we thank you. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.